Good afternoon, Your Excellencies and distinguished guests and ladies and gentlemen, and indeed colleagues and friends, good afternoon. Thank you for the invitation to speak here today. I have to say it's a tremendous honour for me to be among people who've done so much to drive forward the urban food policy agenda. What I'm going to be talking about today is from the local to the from the global to the local and back, the global context for urban food policies, very much in line with the slogan you see in front of you, which is, of course, more than a slogan, local solutions for global issues. And I have to confess that as a food policy analyst for many years, it's only relatively recently that I have begun to learn about the power and potential of urban food policies. And before that, I had focused largely on the global and national level food policies, the kind of up-in-the-air stuff that seems very distant from people. But as soon as I began to learn about urban food policies, I began to realise that here was a way to connect local solutions, a way of using local solutions to address global as well as local problems, and moreover, to connect people with policy. I remember distinctly the first conversation I ever had with Rosie Boycott, who chairs the London Food Board, when she was using her hands like this to show how the municipal level could be used to connect local populations with the bigger world of food policy and global problems. And it was the first of many conversations I've had since then about the importance of connecting local lived experiences to the larger global policy context. And it struck me even more forcefully just a couple of weeks ago when I was teaching my master's students. I'm director of the Centre for Food Policy in London, where we have the only master's in food policy in the world. And I asked the students who come from all kinds of backgrounds, from chefs to local voluntary organisations, to from government to big industry, and indeed to the staff here at FAO, why they wanted to study food policy. And the answer from the vast majority was that they wanted to connect their personal passion and their personal experiencing with engaging with food to the bigger global context of food policy. And that, I told them, is what urban food policy can do. But what is this bigger global context? We're all aware that the world is now focused on the Sustainable Development Goals, which call on us to tackle a multitude of problems in our times. Health, environment, climate, water, waste, employment, livelihoods, infrastructure, etc. The problem I work on most is obesity and nutrition. I'm co-chair of the Global Nutrition Report, which shows at least 2 out of 3 people are somehow affected by malnutrition. But this is not the only problem that is evidently affected by the food system. Most of them are. Pretty much everything is connected to food. So how did we get here? A world where, as the Milan Urban Food Policy Pact states, food systems are being challenged. To answer from a global food policy perspective, let's first look at the big shift since the 1940s. And we can divide these past decades, very broadly speaking, into 2 eras. In the 1940s to the 1970s, food policy took a production push approach, by which I mean that the emphasis of food policy globally was on producing as much food as possible to feed growing populations. Produce it and they will eat, was the mantra. This was the era of great technological growth, of fertilizers, high-yielding crops, green revolution. It was the era of national and regional self-sufficiency, producing enough food for national populations, and in some cases, as in Europe, regional populations. It was the era of cheap food policy, which said, all is okay, provided we are producing enough low-cost calories. But from the late 1970s onwards, and especially in the 1990s, we moved into a new era, the consumer pull policy approach, by which I mean that policy shifted to free up markets, to allow consumer demand to have more control. It was viewed that policies that relied simply on producing enough were not delivering to the people that needed to eat, which was indeed the case. And moreover, production was still falling short in some parts of the world. Far better, then, to liberalise markets so that consumers can issue signals for what they need and want, which then can be communicated back to producers. And to be truly efficient, this supply should come from everywhere through open trade, globalisation for a global food supply. It was manifest in the form of global supply chains controlled not by farmers, but massive supermarkets. This was the era that said, all is okay as long as consumers can get what they need and what they want. And then in 2007, the food price crisis hit. Something was clearly wrong. It became evident that what had been in practice and an easy policy mix between the push and pull approaches were not working. While both approaches has undeniably brought benefits, the consumer pull approach had seen massive growth of consumption. Consumption often for consumption's sake. It had seen the growth of obesity and diet-related non-communicable diseases in the midst of undernutrition, of tremendous food waste as the soils and water taken to produce that very same food degraded, of the warming of our climate, which threatens food security as never before. This unsustainable consumption was now added to the unsustainable production that had emerged from the production push era. And connected to all of this was the great force of urbanisation, the growth of large cities as well as middle-sized towns. So now, in the 2010s, it can no longer be a question of just producing more, of just consuming more. Rather, it has to be a question of healthy consumption from healthy production through healthy food systems. It has to take the reality of urbanisation and cities into account. It has to be the next era of food policy. And that's, ladies and gentlemen, where you come in. Urban food policies provide the possibility for a new era, an era that sees urbanisation and cities as an opportunity that uses the power of cities to create policies that both encourage adequate and healthy eating and that manage the supply and disposal of what is being eaten in cities. Speaking from a global perspective, this is essentially about how we manage our food supply chains, which for me is at the core of the Milan Urban Food Policy Pact. Cities are at the locus of consumption, but they exert huge influence on production, supply and disposal of food through the system. Cities may be entities with boundaries on their physical form and their decision-making powers, but in reality, they are interconnected with everything, including the supply of food around them. This is planetary urbanisation. Now, urban agriculture and supply from the regions around cities are a very important piece of this picture. Cities can play a crucial role by developing short food supply chains through urban agriculture and city region food systems. However, when it comes to linking with a global context, this is only part of it. Supply chains are also national and global. In reality, cities, as you well know, are served by a combination of local, national, region, and global supply chains, all of which involve production, distribution, processing, trade, and retailing in the cities, from informal street vendors, farmers' markets, to large supermarkets. The key challenge for urban food policies is surely, then, to work out where and how they can intervene in all of these value chains, to engage with all of the players in the chain, to find solutions to problems both in cities, nutrition, food access, economic development, etc., and the problems way beyond them, such as climate change and unsustainable agriculture. We heard examples of such approaches yesterday in the Milan Urban Food Policy Pact workshop. Now, this is going to take strong networks, as you know, between cities, but also between local, national and global frameworks. Global and national level frameworks need to provide for and support local realities. Let me go back to my master's class again. In my class, I'd ask the students to come to class with an example of a food policy of interest to them. And not surprisingly, most of them had come with an example that meant something to them locally, because this is where they experience and connect with food. And my favourite example came from a student from Belgium called Barbara. She told us about a local outcry in Verviers in Belgium, where national food safety policy threatened their local dish, a rice pudding of which they were very proud. To maintain flavour, the dish is stored out of the fridge, which was not allowed by national legislation. But fortunately for the indignant mayor, a national food safety review confirmed that it was indeed safe to store the rice pudding out in the open as long as it was just for 12 hours. So now there was a rice pudding policy in Belgium developed based on the concerns of one city, a case where national policy needed to be amended to cater to local realities. And the potential we see of urban food policies is why, at the International Panel of Experts on Sustainable Food Systems, my colleague and indeed an alumni from the Centre for Food Policy, Dr. Jessica Halliday, who is sitting in this room, has been working with us to learn from you all about what drives successful urban food policy development and delivery. And we look forward to that report coming out in early 2017. Please do pick up one of the flyers summarising our findings to date. I thank you for your attention. Thank you.
Please allow me a few seconds at the beginning of my speech to thank the Mayor of Milan and FAO for this exciting invitation. I also would like to acknowledge four colleagues from the City of Milan with whom I've had the privilege of collaborating on this crucial important project in the last year: Stefania Amato, Matteo Brambilla, Simone Licomati, Cinzia Tegoni. Many, many thanks for your hard work and commitment. Many of us who spoke at the signature ceremony of the Milan Urban Food Policy Pact in 2015 emphasized the historic relevance of that event, which signaled a clear break from the past. 1 year on, when the number of signatory cities has more than tripled, it's time to think about the future. It's time to ask ourselves, what kind of operational platform do we need to support the new urban foodscape and ensure that it will continue to make us think and feel differently about food? I will focus today on what I consider the four fundamental pillars on which our operational platform should rest. Four pillars that, in my view, should constitute the focal point of our joint efforts and actions as policymakers, practitioners, and researchers. The first pillar is about systems thinking. Urban food policies recognize when, not even emphasize at times, the linkages that exist between complex challenges, actors, and policy domains. Urban food policies are often structured around the multidimensional connections that food has with different social contexts, sectors, and other community systems. As a member of the Milan Urban Food Policy Pact's Awards Evaluation Committee, I have recently come across a range of tangible outcomes of systems thinking in the new urban foodscape. From the circular economy approach to food waste in Riga, Latvia, to the edible gardens of Arusha, Tanzania, from the food import and re-export system of Dubai to the Urban Agriculture Promotion and Regulation Act in Nairobi. I'd like to envision a future in which cities will continue to teach our national governments that food policy should never be standalone policies. Food policies work and can make a difference when they take into account the interdependencies between different stages of the food system and its wider connections with human and environmental health. The second pillar of the operational platform that mayors in this room and beyond have been creating for us is an innovative food policy intervention context. Critics often warn us against the dangerous potential of devolved policies, which can indeed set in motion autarkic, defensive, self-referential dynamics. In my experience, I'm happy to say, urban food policies are going in the opposite direction. Localism and the relocalization of the food system are not an objective per se in the many urban food strategies I've come across. Rather, they are part and parcel of wider sustainability strategies. Initiatives like Agri-Food Capital in Northeast Brabant or the Food Security Program in Belo Horizonte are repositioning the city as the fulcrum of development strategies that are using food to strengthen the environmental and socioeconomic relations between urban and rural areas. My second main hope for the future is that urban governments will continue to look at their cities not as bounded spaces, but as deeply relational contexts that are at the same time jurisdictional and bioregional. Third, we all know in this room that cities have been at the forefront of participatory food governance. Urban food policy councils and initiatives like the Food Lab in Bruges, the Council for Sustainable Food in Lyon, or the community dining rooms in Mexico City have enabled civil society to become a proactive rather than just reactive agent of positive change. I think our future will also depend on our capacity to keep civil society in the governance arena, understanding that their involvement is crucial not just to identify problems and response gaps, but also to build the capacity across government agencies, policy sectors, and even governance scales. The final pillar on which I hope urban food strategies will continue to rest is what I call connectivity. Initiatives like the Milan Urban Food Policy Pact, or on a smaller scale, the European Agro-Food Platform, or the Metropolitan Food Banks Network in Brazil, initiatives I read about in cities' applications for the awards, such initiatives are becoming critical mechanisms to reconnect the distant food system actors and their ideas, practices, knowledge, and resources. Let's work together to keep the translocal scale alive and ensure that it will remain a site for doing, performing, experimenting, practicing, and sharing food things differently. In conclusion, systems thinking, new policy intervention contexts, participatory governance arenas, and cross-jurisdictional connectivities are demonstrating that there are new questions being addressed and new visions being formed at the urban level. But even more importantly for me, they are signaling the emergence of a more collaborative and reflexive political sensitivity that is building social capacities and is fostering a global sense of citizenship. It's to these capacities and this sense of citizenship that we mostly need to hold on to meet the complex and often cross-scale challenges ahead of us and to bring about sustainable transformations in the food system and beyond. Thank you very much for your attention.